Well, I'm excited this morning. I get the opportunity, the challenge to take the whole week of VBS and we're crunching it into one message. One time, everything the kids are going to learn. I want you guys to get a good overview of what's going on for VBS. Before we get started, though, I want you to notice in the bulletins we've only got from Sunday to Thursday. There is VBS on Friday. There's no Bible teaching times that are going to be happening on Friday, but just because Dusty omitted Friday in the bulletin doesn't mean that Friday doesn't exist, and it doesn't mean that Friday is not a VBS night. Some people have been a little confused because we're doing things a little different. We're going an extra day this year. Friday, there will be VBS. Friday, the purpose of Friday is for the kids to be able to bring their parents in, let them see all the work they've done on the sports, let them enjoy the worship time that they've been having on through the week and share all the songs with them. And the goal Friday is to encourage the parents to come back Sunday morning. Because Sunday morning, we're going to have another worship service like this where it's going to be the same band rocking out to all the songs that the kids had learned. And we'll have some kids involved and they'll be doing motions. They'll be having a blast. It's going to be a fun time. It really is. So I encourage you guys, be there the whole week. So Friday is there, even though it's not in the sermon, okay? The sermon is only official up to Thursday. Friday continues on. So as we break into this, our subject is undefeated. That's the subject of the whole week, and it comes out of a Bible passage there. If you will, go on and turn there with me. It's in Romans. If you go in your New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. Romans. If you hit 1st, 2nd Corinthians, you've gone too far. Romans chapter 8 is where we're headed. And as you guys are turning there, Romans chapter 8 is a chapter that is full of encouraging promises. It's a powerful chapter. Powerful chapter. Really awesome stuff in there. And the last part of it that we're going to be reading is talking about this idea that we are undefeated if we're on God's team. If we're part of God's team, if we join in with God, if we've paralleled our life to his action, to his working, and we've joined in the kingdom, we're undefeated. His opening line here in verse 31 of the passage we're reading today, he says, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Isn't that true? If God is for us, what can be against us? Who can be against us? Is there a force that can be stronger than him? No. People ask the trick question, you know, well, if God is God, can he make a rock so big he can't pick it up? Yeah, he can make a rock so big that he can't pick up. Then he'll pick it up. He's God. There's no force bigger than that. If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, reminding us of the gospel story, but he gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If he was willing to give us his son to die on a cross, don't you think he's going to be able to give us whatever else we need to be undefeated in life? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. He's the one that has the final word. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that separates the sheep from the goats. He's the one that condemns those that have chosen to go to hell. Let's look at this Jesus Christ guy, the guy that condemns us. Oh, it's the same guy who died for you, who loved you so much that he died for you, who loved the Father so much that he died in obedience. He died and more than that was raised to life and is at the right hand of God. And not only that, but to this day, he is also interceding for us. He is going to God on our behalf. This is good stuff. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any other powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, that's just awesome stuff. Nothing can stop me from victory. Nothing can stand in my way of the goal, of the hope of heaven. Nothing can separate me from Jesus. Let's write that down. I think that's pretty important. Put that at the top of your bulletin there. Nothing. Write that word down. Understand the meaning of that word. Understand the importance of that word. Understand the power of that word. Understand the energy of that word. Nothing. Nothing can keep me from Jesus. Underneath that, write Romans 8, 31 through 39. That's the passage we just read. Romans 8, 31 through 39. Nothing, 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 nothing. But sometimes it feels like nothing is something, doesn't it? And we go through times in our lives when we encounter things that should be invalid. It really shouldn't matter, but somehow they gain validity in our lives and they become things that stand in our way. And all of a sudden something becomes, or nothing becomes a something in our life. We have things that come in where they should bear no weight on our life at all because we're in Christ Jesus. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's how Romans 8 starts. And then it just keeps cranking up throughout the chapter. If God's for you, who can be against you? But we have these things that they should not bear any weight in our life, but somehow they gain mass and they end up weighing us down and they push down on us. And somewhere, from somehow, something has happened that should have been a nothing. And that's what day one deals with in VBS. Day one deals with obstacles in life. Beside obstacles in life on your bulletin, I want you to write Mark chapter 5, Mark 5. Because in Mark 5, you'll find this story about this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. 12 years bleeding. Ladies, it's awful. Guys, ew. 12 years. We've been praying for a woman on our prayer list for 15 weeks who's had a liver that wouldn't stop bleeding, and they had to go in and fix that, and other things were happening. She kept losing blood. I don't know how many bags of blood she's up to now, Renee Ramsey. 15 weeks, this woman went 12 years. 12 years. She spent every dime she had, all of her money, to find a cure. She spent it on as many doctors as she could find. None of the doctors could find anything to cure her. And not only that, they couldn't stabilize her, they couldn't make her better. It says in the Bible that she not only was she not getting better, she was getting worse. Things were getting worse for her. So Jesus was coming through, and there was a crowd of people around Jesus, and she said, you know, if I can just get close enough just to touch a piece of his clothing, just to touch the fabric of the clothes that he's wearing, then maybe I can be healed. When we read this story, so many Bible stories we read, and we're so familiar with them that we don't put ourselves into it. We don't inject ourselves there and say, what was she really dealing with? I mean, think about this. Think about her obstacles for a moment. Think about the things that she had to step over. In that time, equality between men and women didn't exist the way it does in our time. For a woman to just walk up and touch a man, that wasn't right. That, you know, there's a scene with Jesus with a woman at a well, and given she's a Samaritan, but she's like, you're even going to talk to me? She was going to touch him. Not only that, but under the law, she would have been labeled as unclean because she was bleeding. Unclean. What if all those Jews in that circle saw her sneaking in and knew of her condition and pointed her out? You can't be around us. You're unclean. You can't be around him. How awful would that embarrassment be? These are obstacles she had to struggle through. You know, we look at this woman, we think, what a woman of faith. But in order to get to faith, you have to overcome certain obstacles. And that obstacle, a huge obstacle, is doubt. I'm not her. I wasn't there. I haven't talked to her. But if I were a betting man, I'd place my wagers on that she probably doubted going into that, thinking, what if it doesn't work? What if I go through this for nothing? What if he's not as powerful as he claims to be? What if all the other healings were hoaxes? But she didn't let those stop her. She stepped over those. She moved past those. She didn't let the obstacles. She didn't give power to the obstacles. I need your help here. I told you guys we're going to have some fun. I've got a little box of fun toys here. I need someone that runs. So a youthful runner. All right, there we go. Come on up, Tara. I need you to go and grab this mic that your dad will have here in a little bit. Do what? You got comfy shoes, got some flip-flops. That's what we're going to hear. Running through, running up and down the aisles. It's on. You're safe. Say check 1, 2. Say check 1, 2. It's on. Did you turn it off?
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Good job. All right. So you're just going to have to be like standby, okay? And wherever my toys go, then you're going to have to run to them. Okay? So who are my volleyball players in the house? Some volleyball. Oh, Brooks, volleyball player. Are you ready? See if I can spike it over there to you. Whoa, no. I'm way off. Set that back to Brooke. There you go. What's your job? You run to her. Yes, you carry the mic. Oh, my goodness. It's weighing her down. She can barely hold the microphone. Use two hands. All right, Brooke, read for us the next bullet point in your bulletins.
I grant the power of effectiveness to the obstacles in my life.
Write that down. That's true, isn't it, Brooke? I grant the power. You can have a seat. Thank you very much. No. I'm using you the whole service. Have a seat. You can rest, though. I grant power to the effectiveness of the obstacles in my life. Think of the potency of that statement. This woman, been bleeding for 12 years, she didn't give power to those obstacles. That's why they didn't stand in her way. Nothing can separate you from Jesus. Do you believe that, church? Nothing. But we empower obstacles in our life. We empower obstacles. Don't do that. Because the only way to be undefeated, the only way to have victory in Jesus Christ, the only way to have victory is in Jesus Christ. Who wants victory this morning? All right. Who's going to go for a touchdown? Who wants a touchdown pass? Who do I have? All right. I got Kim back there. Oh, it's a little wobbly. Good job. Read this now. Give him a hand. Those things are tough. They wobble around. All right, Ken, give us the next one.
Victory depends on Jesus.
Touchdown. Victory depends on Jesus. Get rid of the obstacles. Don't empower them. Oh, we're coming back here. Oh! Save the base. Victory depends on Jesus. You cannot let what should be nothing become something in your life. Because nothing is nothing when it's in front of Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate you from Jesus Christ. Obstacles. Day two moves into some of the obstacles that we deal with. Some of the inside obstacles. Inside problems that we have. Right beside inside problems, write Mark chapter 2. Because in Mark chapter 2, you find a story about some guys who had a lame friend. You've probably got lame friends, don't you? Yeah, we've all got lame friends. Okay, and if you don't have a lame friend in your circle, you might be the lame friend. I hate to be bearer of bad news this morning. But they had a lame friend, and not lame like we're thinking, lame, but he was a paralytic. He was lame. And they took this friend to Jesus because they knew that Jesus was the answer. Jesus was the way to go. Jesus was going to be able to take care of him. Jesus had a rep for things like that. Jesus had the power for things like that. Jesus had the authority to do things like that. They get to the house and it's packed. It's packed all around the house. They don't let that obstacle stand in their way. They don't empower that obstacle. They take him up. They get up the roof. They don't let the roof be an obstacle. They rip a hole in the roof. They drop this guy down on a mat right in front of Jesus. Let's take a look at what Jesus says. I've got Mark chapter 2, verse 4, kind of what the story I just told. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That always throws me because they wanted to get him healed. They wanted to see him walk and dance and run around, play ball with him. Son, your sins are forgiven. Jesus trumped their desire. He went well beyond what they were expecting. Your sins are forgiven. Our sins. Sin is a big problem. Sin is something that can be a nothing if Jesus gets a hold of it. But if Jesus doesn't get a hold of it, then that nothing isn't nothing. It's a big something. What are some inside problems we deal with? This is where it gets dangerous. I stopped playing baseball when I was 10. I'm 36. So I want you guys to be thinking. You're going to have to do a lot of running on this one. What are some inside problems we have? Some sins that we keep hidden. And I'm not asking you to confess yours. I'm saying some things that people deal with that, man, it's so easy to keep it hidden. It's so easy to keep it inside and no one else will see. Like, I'll throw one out. Unforgiveness. Just holding a grudge. That's so easy to hide. No one else will know it. So who else has got one? Let's see. Whoa, it's a high one. Oh, Todd's wanting it. It's all right. Effort gets the mic. Oh, she's skipping. Todd gets it. What you got, Todd?
What do I have?
Yeah, not specifically you. I don't want to embarrass you.
Oh. Anger!
Anger, rage. I mean, anger's not bad, but yeah, rage.
Rage is really a bad one. So.
That is. Sometimes we just fly off the handle, man, and it's...
Thank you.
It's easy to hide that from other people. Yeah, he's good. It's easy to hide that from other people. Your family might know, you know. Oh, that's cool. Thanks. What about greed? That's easy to hide, isn't it? We get greedy for things. It's American way, isn't it? So who else we got? We got someone else? Oh, it's coming down. Larry. Come on, buddy. I'm not taking you to the Reds game. He's not going to catch a foul ball for me. What are some inside things we deal with? Things that
complaining.
What?
Complaining.
Complaining. Yeah. That's it's that one's like... It, you can hide it in plain day. Like no one looks at that as a sin. Inside problems we got. And a lot of times we think about our inside problems. Let me get one more from someone else. Let me see if I can throw one out. Jealousy. Jealousy's tough. That's inside. Let me move it back over here. I don't know if I can pull my foot from over there. I'm not that skilled. Jealousy. I mean, you know, you just want. You want. It kind of goes with the greed thing earlier. I'm kind of stuck on that, I guess. So, oh, my goodness. Line drive. Carla gets that one. I did that first service. It was over here. I thought you were safe. That's my good side.
That was awesome.
All right, Carla, what you got?
Would have been anger.
It would have been anger about then. Todd stole yours. I didn't even beam him in the head. You know, first service I had a lady, and it was the same lady I actually hit in the head, but she was talking about a message a while back that I talked about unforgiveness, and she said, "You just hit me in the head with that one." I said, well, now I've done it spiritually and physically. So, sorry, Carla. So what do you have beside anger?
That one.
Forgiveness. All right, you can have a seat. Thank you. That's the most dangerous one we got today. You know, church is dangerous today. You know, we think about those sins, and we mention them and we talk about them, but we do so in such a bland fashion. These things are destructive. Even if you can keep it hidden in a closet and it's nice and dark and no one else knows about what you struggle with, it still affects who you are. It affects how you relate to people. It affects how you grow. It affects your relationship with God. It affects your ability to be the disciple that God wants you to be. I believe these sins can weigh pretty heavy on us. And I believe that we get to points where we feel so defeated. I just can't fight this sin. Maybe it's a sin that just keeps coming up and keeps coming up. And you just feel so defeated. And you think, you know, forget it. I'm not good enough for this. I can't hang with Jesus. It becomes like a cancer, a virus. There's a guy named Dan O'Brien. He was an Olympian. He participated in the decathlon, which the decathlon is crazy to begin with. I hear people that go on the, what are the ones that have three things? Triathlon. You know, decathlon, that's deca, that's 10. 10 things you do in this stuff. The javelin and the pole vault and you're jumping and you're running and you're throwing things and you do this all over a period of a few days and 10 events. This guy was the stud of the decathlon. He was just awesome. And America, or USA, we were taking three guys in the decathlon to the Olympics in 1992. So in 1991, he was trying out for that. And he just had to get in the top three. And I mean, this guy was awesome. And so he was trying out. And in the midst of trying out, he was already on the way to a world record just in the tryouts. It wasn't even, you know, you still try enough to get through. But it's still not what kind of effort goes into the Olympics when you got all that adrenaline. You're running against, you know, all these other countries. He gets to the pole vault, and he launches that up. And I don't know how many of you guys know much about the pole vault. There's a lot of mental stuff that goes in the pole vault. And it's a very physical sport or event. But there's timing. There's where, how many steps. I don't know a lot of you have bowled and you know you got to walk your steps out. And you got this, in a pole vault, you're walking your steps out for a long way to get up. You got to get up speed. The timing of the pole's got to hit right. The bend of the pole's got to bend just right. You have to arch your body, move your body, push, pull, let go, jump, move, twist. All that mental stuff's going on in your brain to make a successful pole vault. So he goes up and he does the pole vault and he hits the bar. He's got two more chances, not a big deal, he can get it. He goes up again, runs up, bar bends, hits the bar again. If he hits the bar a third time, he's out, because there's no way he can make up for the points, no matter how awesome he is in the other events. You get zero, you get zero, you can't make it up. He hit it a third time. Went home, found out, and kind of some of his back history, he had a really rough time in school, paying attention, keeping track of things, moving through, you know, just really had a, what they found out was some sort of a learning disability, some things that were chemically wrong, things that were, so in that time period between the 92 Olympics and the 96 Olympics, they got him involved in some exercises that helped him in his concentration, to help move him in that direction. They got him on some medication that helped fix some things. You look at this guy, you go on the internet and look this guy up. He is like, He's like the icon of fitness when you look at him. He's not like, you know, this guy. He's like, his arms are little, but like they have muscle strands that you can see through the skin. I mean, they're just like, you'd look at him and say, this guy's fit. This guy's disciplined. This guy's the man. But he had something inside that was messing him up. We went back, 96 Olympics, nailed all his events. Not only won the gold medal, but set the world record for the decathlon. You know, when we look at sin and we see it as an inside problem, it debilitates us. It keeps us from being undefeated. And unlike Dan O'Brien, we can't just exercise it away. We can't take medicine and have our sin go away. The only way to have your sin removed is to give your sin to Jesus. The lame man's friends, they took him to Jesus because they understood the severity of his situation. He wasn't going to get better without a miracle. They took it seriously, and I think we need to take a moment this morning and take our sin seriously. If I take my sin seriously, I will take it to Jesus. That's where sins go. If I take it seriously, I will take my sins to Jesus. Someone help me with the next one. Which side? Is this side not getting much? This thing, it fades to this side. Which way do you bend it to keep it from... I'm not a Frisbee guy anyway. So if I throw it this way... Oh, it didn't go that way. Oh! I guess it's Brian. Man, it's dangerous in church today. Wear a helmet. Put a helmet on. Here we go. It's coming up. Zappo.
Jesus can conquer my inside problems.
That's a simple sentence. That's true. That's true, isn't it, Brian? Think about that word that you're writing down. Jesus can. He is able. He can. Jesus can conquer my inside problems. Don't live separated from Jesus because you've allowed something in between you and him. Let Jesus turn that something that's a big something into a nothing because he can. When you got that you're struggling with, and it's over and over and over again, take your sin to Jesus because he can handle it. He can handle your inside problems. What else do we deal with? We got inside problems. We got outside problems too. We have outside forces. That's day three of VBS. Day three of VBS works on those obstacles. Outside forces. Beside that, I want you to write down Luke 8. In Luke 8, we have a story that a lot of you are probably familiar with. Jesus and his disciples decide they want to go to the other side of the lake, so they jump in a boat. And if you remember right, one third of the disciples, four of the disciples were fishermen. They were used to being on this lake, on the boat. I would have to imagine that if the conditions were bad for being on the lake, they probably would have said, you know, Jesus, it doesn't look like a good day for sailing. Let's walk around. Let's wait. But they got in the boat, so that tells me conditions probably weren't that bad. So they get in the boat, and they're on their way across the lake, and out of nowhere, this storm comes up. We're told this storm just drops down on the lake, a squall that we're going to read here in a minute in Luke. Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. What am I up to here? Oh. I need some help on this next one. Think I got the right club? Oh, come on now. You guys doubt me. There we are. Got it back to Ken. My tea got somebody.
Storms are not always predictable.
Neither is Dusty's wiffle balls. But isn't that true? Storms aren't always predictable. You know, you're just going along through life and everything's honky-dory and all of a sudden you get a phone call. You find out a friend or a family member has stage four cancer. Man, I didn't see that one coming. Or maybe you get a phone call, and it's from your doctor. You find out there's something going on inside your body that you had no idea was happening there. Didn't see that one. Maybe you get called into your boss's office, and he tells you, hey, we're cutting back on people. I'm sorry, we're going to have to let you go. Thanks for your service here. I didn't see that one coming. And you get a phone call, and it's the police, and it's your teenage daughter, your teenage son. They're going to spend the night in jail unless you come down and bail them out. What happened? I didn't see that one coming. Sometimes we go through life and it's 70 and sunny and it's beautiful and it's comfy, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere the storm clouds come in, they hide the sun, and it's just dark and stormy and scary. And you're thinking in the storm, just like the disciples were thinking in that storm, they're thinking, this is impossible. I'm not going to live through this storm. I'm not going to make it through. In Luke 8, it says, as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. He fell asleep, talking about Jesus. A squall came down on the lake, so the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples, let me remind you, four of them were fishermen. They went to Jesus, and they did what? They woke him up. Said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. What was Jesus doing in the storm? He was sleeping. Life-threatening storm. Maybe he was just tired. I don't buy that. He was asleep. And we have this, like, emphasized because they went and they woke him up. They had to wake him up to get his attention. Hey, we're going to die. while you're taking a little nap here. So this next one's pretty powerful. Get my sport here. See if I can get some mark on this. Oh, you want it way over there? You're a goalie, so I mean you're safe, but you're just way over there. That's not exciting. I can't kick it way across the room. I wonder if I can hit Dave. Do you think I can hit Dave? Can you hit Dave? Okay. Oh, it's long enough, but not the right direction. What about the lady in the purple shirt? It bounced nearest to her. Sorry, Dave, I tried. Distance was there. No one got beamed in the face.
Jesus is not shaken by my storms.
Isn't that cool? Think about that. No matter what storm you're going through, no matter what storm you're into today, no matter what storm followed you in through those doors, Jesus ain't shaken by it. He's sleeping through the storm. He's not intimidated by your storm. He's not scared of your storm. He's not shaken. He's not moved. Because he's bigger than your storm. Your storm does not affect him. Your emotions as you go through the storm, he's affected by that. But your storm, he's not shaken. That's encouraging news. Jesus is not shaken by your storms. Your most dreaded storm, Jesus isn't scared of. And guess what? Nothing can keep you from Jesus. Nothing can separate you from Jesus. Only obstacles that you empower. Only obstacles that you allow in your life. Nothing can keep you from Jesus. And Jesus isn't shaken by your storms. So where do we need to be, church, when we're going through storms? Right there. Wake him up. You know, when we let obstacles in our life, and those obstacles have the ability to keep us from Jesus, and we risk the worst defeat of all, and that's covered on day 4 of VBS. Day 4 of VBS is the final battle. On day 4 of VBS, in the main session in here, when Kurt, our bass player this morning, whose bass almost hit Spike in the football, he's going to be leading these kids in some worship. Jason's going to be leading them in a few songs, and that night, Kurt's going to be teaching them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, just the simplicity of the gospel, with all the kids that are going to be in here screaming and having fun. Then after that, these kids, they go out and they play their sports, and they play soccer. They go out and they play baseball, softball. And then what they do is they get in these little huddle groups. And if you're a huddle coach, you know what the game plan is. And those of you guys who don't have no clue what a huddle coach is, a huddle coach is one of our VBS volunteers. We've got about close to 30 of them, I think, is how many we had signed up. They have 5 to 8, maybe 9 kids in their group all week long. That's their group of kids. They build a relationship with them. They share with them. 2 times a night, they have some intimate time with them, like this time they're having on this day 4. And on day 4, instead of sharing a sports story with them that has a biblical connection, they're sharing their story with them. What happened in their life that made them flip the switch and let Jesus in their heart? What it was about Jesus that attracted them to him. What it was about being a disciple that was adventurous or dangerous enough that they said, that's what I want to be a part of. Then they go back and they play their sports and they have fun. They sweat and they learn how to get better and they learn how to not beam people in the face in church. And then they come back to their huddle groups again for another huddle time. And here, the teachers, the huddle coaches, they have these bracelets that they've made up and they have beads on them, very simple. And there's 7 beads. There's a black bead, and it represents our sin, and they explain that to them. There's a red bead, and they say that this represents Jesus' blood that was given for our sins. And then there's a blue bead that if you accept Jesus Christ, you're baptized into Christ, then you're washed clean. And then there's a white bead after that, because after you're washed clean, you're pure. You're made pure. Then there's a green bead, and that green bead is about growth, that after you become a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, then you grow. Then there's a gold bead on that bracelet, and that gold bead represents the hope we have of heaven, and the excitement of the kingdom. And then there's a final bead on that, and it's a purple bead, and it represents being undefeated, that Jesus is our Lord. God is king of my life. I belong to God. And the teacher's going to show them that bracelet, and the teacher's going to say, you know what? I handmade bracelets for each of you. You know, you can see little kids getting excited about that. And then the teacher passes out these bracelets to these kids. And we're excited in here because we know that kids are going to hear the gospel message. But let me tell you what, adults need to hear that message too. And as simple as that bracelet is, maybe that connected with you this morning. Don't be embarrassed if it did. Man, the gospel's simple. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you've heard the gospel so many times, and you hear it just in that simple bead format, and you say, you know what? I need to give my life to Jesus. I've never done that before. We're going to have a time for that here in a minute. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning, and you needed to be reminded about what Jesus did for you. As you go into VBS, maybe you need an attitude adjustment. Maybe this morning you need to be reminded of the power of the resurrection and know that no matter what storm you're going through, he rose from the dead, people. He can conquer any storm. He's not shaken by your storms. No matter what sin you're dealing with, he can conquer it. That's why he died on the cross. You don't want to face the final battle without Jesus. That's not a scare tactic. That's just truth. Hebrews chapter 9 says, just as a man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation for those who are waiting for him. That's what's going to happen. That's the final battle, people. Are you ready? I need someone to read another thing on the screen for me. It's my tennis ball today. Combine it with my racket. I got an evil backhand. You ready? Oh, Nick! Told you I got an evil backhand. Read that for us, Nick.
To be undefeated, I need extraordinary power.
Well, isn't that true? I need extraordinary power. Where does extraordinary power come from? I want everyone in the room to read this next one. God has shared that power through Jesus. He showed it through the resurrection of Jesus, but he shared it with you. If you give your life to Christ, you become a Christian, you get forgiveness of sins. That's the power. You get the Holy Spirit. God comes and lives inside of you. That's power, people. He shared that power with you. He gave you the ability to be undefeated. You have that power. He shared that with you. And nothing can keep you from that power. Nothing can keep you from Jesus. Nothing. Height nor depth, life nor, not height nor depth, life nor death. Angels or demons, nothing can keep you from the power of Jesus Christ. And that's not where it ends. Day 5 is very simple. Day 5, the title is Meeting Basic Needs. Beside that, I want you to write John 6. The feeding of the 5,000 was Jesus' largest miracle when it comes to a mass of people receiving a miracle at one time. It was so big, it was so important that the feeding of the 5,000 is recorded in all four Gospels. It is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. It is in John's Gospel, however, that we learn a little detail about this. The fish and the loaves, the little amount that they were given, in John's Gospel we found out that came from a little boy's lunch pack. A little boy had a little brown bag lunch, you know, well, equivalent to what we would have, you know, maybe a Star Wars lunch box, you know, with a little thermos in there. Yeah, what? Super Friends, the American League or American Legion, what was that? Green Lantern. That guy was useless. Justice League, that's it. Just his lunchbox. And what did he do? He gave it to Jesus, and Jesus made it something big. And that's the closing day, and that's what we're closing with here today. It's just a simplicity that if I give God what I have, I can be the hero in God's playbook today. If I give God what I have, I can be the hero. I can be the hero in the story.